Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. You are now listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. I am Rosa Carter, the president of NABWIC of Northeast Florida. NABWIC was founded to increase the national awareness of African-American women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge, and NABWIC takes the charge for African-American women to advocate for the further opportunity for its membership. We advance the NABWIC mission as our core foundation is strengthened with the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for the black women in construction and their respective communities. Please feel free to call our guest line for questions or comments at 714-459-3918. Press 1 to join our conversation. This morning, our host is Jackie Perry. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. How are you doing, Rosa?
Doing wonderful. She will be our host, and she will be introducing our guests. I will now turn the show over to the host of this show, Ms. Jackie Perry. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and welcome, everyone, to this wonderful Wednesday. As Black Women in Construction, we can appreciate the role that real estate developers play in our industry. They are effectively the entrepreneur that make a new building, a project happen. They go out and buy the land. They put a team in place, the architects, the engineers, and so on. And they get the necessary approvals to build with the help of a team, of course. They finance the deal. Then they get a builder to actually construct the projects. I think of real estate developers like an orchestra conductor too. They don't play any instruments, but they just direct the performance. And boy, what a symphony it is. We are so privileged today to have with us a real estate developer, Mr. James Breaker. And before we begin our discussion with him, I'd like to tell you just a little bit more about Mr. Breaker, our guest for this morning. So Mr. Breaker, James Breaker, is a retired U.S. Army veteran with 26 years of service to our country. He's a family man, having been married 32 years with 5 sons and 2 grandkids. He earned a Bachelor of Business Administration degree in marketing and management from the University of North Florida. And after graduating from college, he was commissioned as an officer in the United States Army. Again, he served 26 years, served honorably in Operation Enduring Freedom, and retired as Lieutenant Colonel. Now, he's an entrepreneur, as many of us are, and as a real estate developer, he has continued to work in the community by revitalizing commercial and residential property for the beautification and economic development of our community. He is heavily involved in the community and business development plans for District 8 here, which is a local district here in Jacksonville, Florida, sometimes referred to as the District of Soul. He's been a businessman in District 8 for over 25 years and a real estate developer for more than 10 years. So he's got a lot of wealth and experience to share with us. He serves on numerous boards, and his current interest, because he is so impassioned with our community, is he is running for city councilman for District 8, again, the District of Seoul. So we'll hear a little bit more about Mr. Breaker from himself, but I wanted to share that little background with you. And welcome, Mr. Breaker. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, we are very, very excited about having you on the show this morning, and I'm going to dive right in because I'm sure our listeners are very interested in hearing a lot more about you as an entrepreneur and hearing about your passion and what some of your goals are and perhaps how we can mutually help each other in sharing or putting forth our vision.
Okay.
To start off, again, real estate is certainly a broad industry. What made you interested in this particular arena to start off?
Well, I looked around and looked at some things that was available in our community, some opportunities, and there are so many opportunities. I started out in the residential field and developing and rehabbing housing, and went through the process of leasing and renting houses out through HUD. Then branched off into the commercial side of it, which was a little bit more lucrative, and it gave more opportunities for other people to live out their dreams by leasing out properties to them, to the ones that could not really afford to purchase properties such as myself. So that stemmed off into the development part of actually coming up with projects where we're going to actually build a whole shopping center. And through the years, I've come up with some mentors and with Tony Sleeman, and we're going to do some joint projects in the very near future on the Northwest Quadrant, and hopefully spur some opportunities for some other folks to see what a developer actually goes through. And some of our young folks that are coming out of college, instead of going out getting a job for someone else, I would love to see them actually come out and create some jobs, empowering our people to do that, because we have a lot of folks here that hungry for things, but they don't know the way. So I need to spur some young folks out here to do that, especially other than my family, because I'm shooting my sons in that same direction as well.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that about, stirring young people on. One of NABWIC's goals, of course, is to promote opportunities in this industry for women and young girls. What would you say to young women who are aspiring to get into this particular arena as an entrepreneur, and how would they do that?
Well, you guys are doing an outstanding job of first just networking your resources. And I talk to Rosa, your president, all the time about we're networking our resources first, getting everybody together. And everybody got something to contribute. Don't think that they don't. And then the younger girls, the young ladies, if they see good role models, which we have very few in our community, that reaching out and trying to help somebody else, we need to make that public. And you guys are doing a great job at that as well. And as they see projects like what we're going to have in the District of Seoul, that gives them a ground to experiment, to make some mistakes, correct them. And then when you get the major projects, you've got your act together. And that's what this District of Seoul is going to accomplish. It's going to accomplish a training field for our people to actually do some things and not so worried about all the right things that got to be done right off the bat. We can make some mistakes and correct them. That's the good thing about construction, and then go on to the bigger projects.
Great, thank you. And we certainly would encourage young girls and more women to get involved in that field. And you mentioned mentors. They become really key and important to that effort. Thanks for your comments on that. You mentioned the District of Seoul a couple of times. Can you give us a little more detail about this project? What is the District of Seoul exactly?
Well, the District of Seoul, let's start off with saying this is not just one organization involved with this. This is the Black Chamber of Commerce, which the state organization is kind of leading the way on our historical part, because we're planning on funding three museums, including a Wall of Legend, which this Wall of Legend will span for three blocks with murals of great people that did great things here in Jacksonville that's Afro-American. Then we also have the Northwest Jack CDC, and that CDC is funding some major projects in which this area hasn't had a grocery store for 35 years. It's considered a food desert. There's going to be a clinic, which there's no doctors, and there's going to be a pharmacist, which there's not a pharmacist in about 5 or 6 miles. So there are some things that's coming back to the community that CDC is funding. Then there's other portions, like we're getting ready to have an amphitheater, which some private investors are coming in to help fund that part of it. List is coming in with some of the funding. Then there's also our organization, which is the Mark Creef Merle Avenue Business Association, which I sit on that board. It's going to help with all the small businesses that are in that area. We want to make sure that they get the right funding, and not just the funding, the tools to be successful. We want to make sure that they be able to attend classes to have a better business plan, how to pay their employees, how to apply for a loan from a financial institution. And all those are going to be networked through Ed Waters College, the University of North Florida Small Business Administration, and right there at EWC. So we're going to utilize everything within our network and our community to try to make a better community and improve the quality of life. There are three other components in that district of Seoul that's really going to happen. One that I talked about, our history. In Jacksonville, there used to be Lincoln Villa, La Villa. There used to be Florida Avenue that was prospering. And if you even look further back, there was this area called Sugar Hill. All that's gone. So we want to make sure our history is taken care of in these museums and the Wall of Legend. Then there's also the residential portion. We have a project that's going to be a task force that's working on how to rehab the houses in that area. It's good that we can build some houses, but our focus is on rehabbing and developing the houses in that area so they won't have a lot of blight, and make it affordable that we can have people that are low income to be able to afford these houses, and they'll be around $60,000. Then also the main thing that's going to help with all this is the commercial quarters. The commercial quarters with a lot of small businesses, that's what Fund America, small businesses, making sure they're squared away construction-wise with giving a facelift, a facade on these businesses. And not only that, they all agreed to go to these classes and hire new employees in that area so we can improve the quality of life.
Oh, great. Sounds like a major but an important undertaking. So we look forward to seeing that come about. But right before we go to a commercial, let me ask you one more question, because again, as a developer, there's a lot of moving parts. Developers typically will assume 100% risk for, you know, the project that they're in, although there are other partners, and you mentioned several of those. From an entrepreneurial standpoint, working in this arena, what type of skills would you say are really key to helping one be successful in this particular arena?
I would say in any business, having a comprehensive plan before you even start your project. That plan needs to be flexible enough that you can change some things to make it better, but it need to have the essential things in that project to see it all the way to fruition. A lot of times people start projects and they are undercapitalized. A lot of times they start projects and they don't do their due diligence and homework on it, and that becomes a problem. So I think the major thing is to have a plan, and don't be ashamed if somebody else look at that plan and give you some ideas, because sometimes you're so attached to that project that you don't see what's right there in front of you. So it would be a good thing that you have other people that's in the field to actually look at your project, and sometimes even people that is not, because they see some things that you didn't think of, and then go forward with it that way. But the major thing, I think, is having that plan and making sure you have the resources to make it come to fruition.
Thank you. That's so key. Well, we'll be right back with Mr. Breaker and some more questions.
You are listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction. The intent of NABWIC is to always go back into the junior, senior, high school, and colleges to encourage young black girls and young black women to enter the construction industry and to study the STEM program in construction. Please visit our website at www.nabwic.org. Feel free to call into our guest line for questions for the real estate developer, Mr. James Breaker, or any comments at 714-459-3918. And please press 1 to join the conversation. You can also listen to this show and any past shows by visiting our website at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thank you, and we're back.
All right, thank you. We are back with Mr. James Breaker, real estate developer, entrepreneur, and community activist. Mr. Breaker, it's clear to see that you do have a passion for the community, and that passion has led you to be involved in other ways, in political ways as well. I understand that you are a candidate for City Council District 8. What are some of the goals or objectives you hope to achieve if you win the seat for City Council?
Well, first of all, this District of Soul is a passion, but what that's going to bring to our community is going to bring about $30 to $40 million worth of development, and that's a lot for any community. But also, it's going to create jobs, and in that process, we're going to have job training. I'm working right now with one of the school board members to open up A. Philip Randolph as one of the training sites. Most of the people that are in those skilled jobs in construction are old, and we need to start teaching our young folks and inspiring them to get in these trades and understand that college is not the answer for everyone. A lot of these trades, and I'm sure NABWIC is expressing this the same way, that we need to start putting people in the pipeline, getting them trained, and getting them the opportunity to get out here and earn a decent wage and improve the quality of life. That's very, very key right now. That's one of the main things that I want to see done, is to create jobs and improve the quality of life in District 8. Right now, most of the people in certain areas are making less than $20,000 for a family of four, and that's unacceptable. We do need to raise the bar, and we do need to give other opportunities and other options for our folks. And one of the things is to create that opportunity through development and through the opportunity of creating some new businesses and some joint ventures. Right now I'm talking to some venture capital groups and some investors to actually come in and do some things in District 8. And that's what I'm going to do continuously through my 4 years as council person to bring in other businesses to District 8. I have a large area. It goes all the way out to Bulls Bay and Pritchard Road, where we have warehousing and manufacturing, and we're talking with those companies out there to bring more, and that will create more jobs. So job focus is very key. Development is very key. Improving the quality of life, whether small or large businesses, that is very key for what I would like to see done in my next 4 years.
Great. Thank you. And one last question, and then we're going to pause because our audience may also have some questions as well, Mr. Breaker. But you mentioned some exciting opportunities that may come down the pike. You mentioned maybe $30, $40 million in opportunities. And whether we're in Jacksonville or any other city across the nation, what suggestions do you have for entrepreneurs who want to be a part of the economic success coming out of potential projects like these?
Well, again, a lot of these can be networked with the resources that you have. And I'm quite sure your organization, Network, you've got investors and bankers sitting right there at the table. We need to visit some of the old school things of Rosewood and Black Wall Street out in Oklahoma. Those folks had much less than we did, and they made it happen. That's a start. When you start there, you have other people jump on board with what you're trying to do because you're taking ownership of what you're trying to do. A lot of times folks go out trying to get something started, and other people don't see your vision because there's nothing going on. But I think if we network our resources and start getting something done and getting some seed money, we can lay the foundation, and that's what I'm doing. I'm laying the foundation for hopefully 50 years' worth of development because we have a large area on the northwest quadrant to accomplish. But we're going to start with District 8. We're going to start with District 8 with $30 or $40 million. And we're going to develop this area just like River City, the River City Marketplace, St. John. But we're going to do it for the demographics that's in that area. We're not going to overdo it that the people won't be able to afford what's in that area. We're going to do it for the demographics that's in that area.
Great. Thank you. Our communities are important, and sounds like certainly there's a long-range plan to address some of the economic issues that is there. So thank you.
You're welcome.
We don't have any callers at this particular time. Were you going to say something else, Mr. Breaker?
No, I was just making a comment, and I was saying you're welcome.
Oh, okay. Again, in the political arena, as a public servant, again, being out there with the community, I imagine you've heard a lot of questions or concerns that some of your constituents or potential constituents have at this time. What are some of the things that people seem to be most concerned about in their communities?
One of the things they're concerned with is being up to par just like the rest of the city. Something simple as having sewage, lighting, and then some other basic things that other folks have in a safe neighborhood. One of the things when they bring these questions up, I ask them that we get together and we organize. There are 18 precincts in District 8, and I mentioned that we need to have at least one organization within each one of those precincts. neighborhood watch, a neighborhood association, or a business organization that kind of has the pulse of the community. And they bring that back to me. We have a forum, so we'll know exactly what's needed in that area, and we'll work towards getting that happen. Now, government cannot pay for everything. There's some certain basic things that government is supposed to do, and that's what they're supposed to do. You know, there's funding that was supposed to be out in a better business, better Jacksonville plan to fund sewage, road construction, and some other things. That money is being shifted to a lot of things that's not that. So we need to find out where that's at and get it back to where it needs to go. Now, for its businesses and those types of things, there's money out there in corporate America that we can attach those things to. I've talked about the district was sold. Two-thirds of that money is being funded by corporate America. When we go to city government to fund those projects, we're asking for infrastructure, those types of things that city government is supposed to pay for. And that Riverside Marketplace, in the planning process of that, $2.4 million was spent just in the infrastructure. But that was well worth it when you see what development they made out of that area. The same thing with us. We ask for infrastructure or the things that's going to be used for the whole community. That's what government's supposed to pay for. And the other resources, we look at developers, we look at investors or venture capital groups to come in and to do those types of things that spur new businesses and companies within District 8.
Great. Thank you for sharing that insight with us. One last question, Mr. Breaker, as we end the show. You mentioned in your biography, of course, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, that your passion definitely is in building a better quality of life for the citizens here. NABWIC is all about helping others achieve their vision. So how can we assist or support you in this effort?
One of the things right off, I'm quite sure right now, NABWIC has heard about the project. There will be shortly a mixer sponsored by me, funded by me, to marry up NABWIC, some other contractors, with the actual owners of all these businesses in that area. So you guys can share some ideas and might end up with some projects. And I mentioned to Rosa, there's about four or five businesses or companies within District 8 that's ran by women. And that's a good networking source where you can really start off, because they don't have a clue that your organization even exists. So in that mixer, we will share ideas about the District of Seoul. You can have an opportunity to actually meet these folks and sell them on what you can do. I'm quite sure you guys would do a great job at that. Your organization structure is great, and you've done a great job so far. So this is probably elementary to you when you get in a room with these other ladies that are actually doing some great things. And they might end up even joining your organization. So I think that would help your organization a lot, and that's a starting point. And maybe we'll spin off to something else.
Well, great. Thank you. I think opportunities to network, to potentially team, and to find out about other opportunities coming down the pike are certainly worthwhile. And NABWIC is certainly able, and with our continued support, to enable those things for mutual benefit. So thank you very much. Mr. Breaker, give us any contact information you might have for our audience. I'm sure after listening to the show today, hearing everything that you've had to share. Others may want to contact you outside of the blog talk today. So give us your contact information.
Okay, great information for me. You can go to jamesbreaker.com and you see part of the vision plan for the District of Seoul. It's not complete because it's in the working stage and we're constantly adding to it. But you can see the basic part of what is going to happen with that. Also, you can have some information about my campaign, some contact numbers, some of my donors and supporters. You can see who supported me. And we have a team and some task forces, and you'll see some of the task forces that are being put in place on blight and crime, on education. There's a couple of task forces, and if you're concerned or would like to be a part of that, you can put information there. There should be a contact for my campaign office. I would encourage people to get involved. That's how we can get things done, to get involved. A lot of this is not by James Breaker. This is about the community. And that's what I'm running for office, to empower our people to have a better quality of life.
Well, thank you very, very much. And I'm sure a lot of what you do in terms of the project and the approach can be used as a type of straw model or blueprint for other cities as well. So thank you for all of your contribution. And thank you so much for being our special guest on the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That concludes our show. And thank you again for listening to the National Association of Black Women in Construction. We are the voice of Black Women in Construction. Have an awesome and blessed day.